Book of Numbers, chapter 24. I've so enjoyed the congregational singing and the choir and the special music tonight, and I believe it has set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. It's my hero, Billy Sunday, who once said, bad church music is as worthless as a glass eye at a keyhole. Billy Sunday said that. And that's about how I feel in regards to bad church music. I think it's refreshing that we sing the same songs that were sung in the meetings of Sunday, Oliver B. Green, Rice, and others. And we're known as fundamentalists by our singing. It is one of our hallmarks. And isn't it a blessing to be in a place that just absolutely is right when it comes to the music at the house of God? Amen. Book of Numbers, chapter 24. I'm looking forward and hearing one of my five favorite preachers preach tonight, Dr. Shelton Smith. If I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, Dr. Smith will mark 21 years, two decades and a year, as the editor and president and evangelist of the Sword of the Lord. Full salute, my dear friend, on that great milestone of ministry, which will come early in the morning. Book of Numbers, chapter 24. If you need help finding the book of Numbers, I would suggest that you go to that front page in your Bible that says Holy Bible and then turn right. Just keep going and you'll run in eventually to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 24, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 7. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Book of Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 7. Right recently, while reading my Bible for my own heart and my own life and my own soul, I came across the truth that has meant a great deal to me in recent days. With the help of the Lord, I want to try to drop and deposit this same truth in your heart tonight. Book of Numbers, chapter 24, in verse number 7. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. A phrase here that has captured and caught my attention, and I've underlined it in my Bible, and I would encourage you to underscore it in yours. And it's the phrase, he shall pour the water out of his buckets. Do you see it? There it is. He shall pour the water out of his buckets. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, better under the buckets. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I am away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. Give Dr. Smith a measure of preaching power as he's yet to preach tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. most believers never get to the place in their spiritual life where they see and seize all that God has set out for them. Small-sightedness, sin, and setbacks keep them experiencing a drip of benefits when they could be enjoying a deluge of blessings. The difference between a normal and a phenomenal Christian life is putting oneself beneath God's pale, better under the buckets. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, we find the prophet Balaam's third parable. Now, let me just say in passing that Balaam, on a strictly personal note, is not one of my favorite men of the cloth that are on the pages of the Bible. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the preparation of the prophet to declare the divine will, verses 1 through 2, and then the declaration of the prophet of Israel's glory, verses 3 through 25. It is well the prophet Moses is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the declaration of the prophet of Israel's glory that a person reads a heart-captivating phrase. Verse 7a, he shall pour the water out of his buckets. The common word bucket or buckets is only used twice in the entire Bible. You find it in Isaiah 40 and 15, and then you find it again in our text of Numbers 24, 7. So only two times, only two occasions, only two instances does one find the word bucket or buckets in the Bible. In the Hebrew language, it means a pail or a jar for drawing or pouring water. One Bible student penned about our text once, Balaam's native soil was ordinarily irrigated by water fetched from the neighboring Euphrates and carried in buckets suspended from two ends of a pole. He went on to write, thus the metaphor would import that Israel should have his own exuberant and unfailing channels of blessing and plenty. And then he ties up his thought by writing, that Bible student, some take the word to be predictive of the future benefits which, through the means of Israel, were to accrue to the rest of the world. The sister verse of Numbers 24, 7 would have to be John 10, 10. And as you've heard me say any number of times in any number of meetings, every verse in the Bible has what I call a sister verse. And often that sister verse throws more light upon the verse that you're musing, meditating, or making a study of. And so the sister verse of Numbers 24:7 is John 10:10. There the Bible says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Never forget, what was true of Israel then needs to be also true of the Christian and church now, and that is we are set and stationed under the pouring pails of paradise. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, what was true of Israel then? What was true of Israel then? What was true of Israel then needs to be also true of the Christian and church now, and that is we are to be set and stationed under the pouring pails of paradise. T.D. Whit Talmage, which is one of my favorite preachers of the past, once said, do not die of thirst in a path across which there comes a thousand buckets dripping from the spring. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved and serving, need to discover the delights of dwelling under the buckets. Man, that's where I want to be. And that's where I want you to be. And that's where I want all of us to be dwelling, to be living, to be abiding underneath the buckets of heaven. Now quickly, I want to give you tonight 318 things Just wanted to see who was listening. Quickly tonight, I want to give you three thrilling things that are discovered from heaven's buckets. And they're all found here in Numbers chapter 24. Let's quickly notice it better under the buckets. Number one, the working spirit of God. Verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. A thrilling thing that is located under heaven's buckets is the working Spirit of God. In verse 2, the prophet Balaam sees the people of Israel in rest and relaxation, and he receives a fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit. A person must not miss the two profound phrases that can be seen from one another in verse 1 and in verse 2, which, Dr. Wells, have to be the still missed key principle of the Spirit-filled life. But he set his face toward the wilderness, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The songwriter there tucked this same truth inside of our hymn books when he penned, "It may not be on the mountain height or o'er the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by still small voice he calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go." Oh, the powerhouses on the pages of the Bible were all those that at one time or another spent some time in the wilderness. You show me someone that God is using. You show me someone that has the smile of God. You show me someone that knows what it is to serve, not in the energy of the flesh, but in the energy of the Spirit. And I'll show you someone, whether in the Bible or in our lives, I'll show you someone who's figured out you got to get in the wilderness. You got to spend time in the wilderness. You got to find God in the wilderness. There's something about the wilderness and the Spirit-filled life that are absolutely inseparable. Moses, Numbers 1:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. David, 1 Samuel 17:28, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" John the Baptist, Matthew 3:1, "And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." And last, and by no means ever least of all, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 4:1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Oh, hear me tonight and hear me well. We got to get to the wilderness. We got to get to that alone place. We got to get to that secluded place. We got to get to the wilderness if we're going to be under the buckets, because under the buckets is where you find, like no other place, the working Spirit of God. R. A. Torrey once said, "The primary purpose of the baptism or filling with the Holy Spirit is not to make us happy, but to make us useful for God." Friend, you and I need to discover it's better under the buckets because of the working Spirit of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 44:3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon my seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Christian, don't run from the wilderness of your prayer closet, the obscurity of a place of service, not in what you feel is the limelight or in your painful valley, because these are the filling stations. These are the filling stations, because these are the filling stations God wants you to get his power from. Selah. Muse on that for a moment. Oh, it's better under the buckets, because under the buckets you have the working, the working. Man, we want him to work when we preach. We want him to work when we sing. We want him to work when we teach. We want him to work when we lead a bus route. We want him to work in our lives and in our family lives. And the only way that happens is to get under the buckets. I'm here to tell you, neighbor, it's better. It's better. Oh my, it's better under the buckets. Years ago, they were building a bridge across a portion of New York's harbor, and the engineers were seeking a base for one of their buttresses. They struck upon an old scow. Now, scow is a large, flat bottom boat, and it is used chiefly for transporting bulk material as ore, sand, or refuse. Full of bricks, they struck this scow full of bricks and stone that had long ago sunk to the mud, partially buried. Divers were sent down to place great chains under the scow so it could be raised, but every device failed. At last, a young engineer assured it could be done. He brought two barges to the spot and attached the huge chains, which were around the scow, to beams of the barges. The chains were fastened tightly at low tide. There was nothing else to do but wait. And as the tide swept up the harbor, raising the barges by its mighty power, the buried scow shook, shivered, and then soon responded. It was raised by the lift of the Atlantic Ocean. So it is by the life and lift of the Holy Spirit that our lives are energized and effective for service in our individual realms and responsibilities. Newsflash, it is the fullness of the Spirit that gives force to our service. If you are forever frustrated, if you are forever at wit's end, if you forever are thinking about jumping out of a basement window, I'm here to tell you, you're doing it wrong, because there is a power, there is a presence, there is a person that can be helping you in your work, and it's far better under the buckets, because there is the working Spirit of God. Number two, please look at it, the wonderful scriptures of God. Verse 4, he hath said, have you read my blog? If you get what you believe out of a blog, like old Dr. B.R. Lincoln used to say, you better get in the house before you get run over by a bus. Look at it, verse 4. He hath said, which heard the words of God. A thrilling thing that is located under heaven's buckets is the wonderful scriptures of God. In verse 4, the prophet Balaam stands upon the only foundation that will forever stand the test of time, and that is the word of God. No believer has ever experienced heaven's best who neglects Bible reading and Bible leading daily. You see, if I'm going to know what it is to be under the buckets, then every day I've got to have Bible reading, and not just stop at Bible reading. I have to have Bible leading as well, because that's when you get under the buckets, you have the experience and you have the enjoyment of hearing from God. And the way God speaks is through his word. It is through his Bible. It is through his scriptures. And it's just better. I mean, it's just better under the buckets, because under the buckets you have the wonderful scriptures of God. D.L. Moody once said, if you show me a Bible Christian living on the word of God, I'll show you a joyful man. He went on to say, he's got new truths that lift him up over every obstacle, and he mounts over every difficulty higher and higher. He went on to state, like a man I once heard of who had a bag of helium fastened on either side. And if he just touched the ground with his foot over a wall or a hedge, he would go. And so these truths make us so light that we bound over every obstacle. Friend, you and I need to discover it's better under the buckets because of the wonderful scriptures of God. And I think sometimes we look at the Bible as fundamentalist, as a fashion accessory for a sharp two-button suit. Or we look at the Bible as a fashion accessory for a long, nice long dress. But friend, the Bible, for a fundamental Christian, is not a fashion accessory. It is our everything. It is God's love letter to us. And every time we open it, man, God has something to say to me, and God has something to say to you, and God has something to say to everybody. Every single time the Bible's open, God is speaking. Now, there's some magnificent things that the Bible produces for the believer. And it may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but a magnificent thing that the Bible produces for the believer is promise. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. A magnificent thing that the Bible will produce for the believer is a promise. In uncertain days, the child of God can depend upon their heavenly Father's certain declarations. Am I the only one that it seems like with every news cycle, something more macabre and monstrous has taken place? I mean, I remember as a young preacher hearing Brother Lester Roloff say, the inmates are running the asylum. I wondered what that meant, but then I lived to see the day that I know exactly what it means. Boy, I'm glad that no matter what's going on Main Street, we got a Bible. No matter what's going on at the White House, we got a Bible. No matter what's going on at your neighbor's house, we got a Bible. And a magnificent thing that the Bible produces for the believer, it's magnificent, is promise. I've got to hasten, secondly, protection. Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. A magnificent thing that the Bible will there produce for the believer is protection. You know, the best bulwark is the Bible. Hey, I wonder how many times a Bible verse in the morning has kept me out of trouble. I wonder how many times a Bible verse in a service like this has kept you out of trouble. I wonder how many times in the course of 30 days we got something out of the Bible that served as a protection, that served as a wall, that served as something we could stand behind. Man, I don't know about you, but I got to get behind the Bible. I don't know about you, but I got to get the Bible up front. I don't know about you, but I have to have the Word of God leading me. And in leading me, this is better than you're letting on. In leading me, it gives protection. Thirdly, prosperity. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A magnificent thing that the Bible there produces for the believer is prosperity. In God's list of Fortune 500 are the names of preachers, Sunday school teachers, bus workers, and singers that have based and built their ministries upon the Word of God. Listen, if you are building a ministry on the Bible, that's big stuff to God. That's big stuff to God. If you're building a life on the Bible, that's big stuff to God. That's big stuff to God. And the world may look at you and think and feel that you're a failure, but God calls you a success. Oh, that every believer that was in this service would realize that the magnificent things that the Bible will produce for them are promise and protection and prosperity. Dr. Washington Carver, the great scientist of the Tuskegee Institute, has gone to be with Christ many years ago after spending his life literally for others. For years, he urged people in the South to plant crops beside cotton, for if one failed, not all was lost. So he persuaded the people in the South to there plant peanuts. However, they raised more peanuts than they knew what to do with. Carver then prayed for wisdom whereby the peanut might be put to new uses. His prayer was answered, and he discovered how to make oils, varnishes, colorings, medicines, and 100 other things from peanuts. He was invited to testify before a Senate committee. And there he was asked, Dr. Carver, how did you learn all these things? He replied, from an old book. The chairman asked, what book? He said, the Bible. He was asked, does the Bible tell about peanuts? He answered, no, Mr. Senator, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut. Whoop goes right there. Hey, Christian, the next time you're at the circus and you're enjoying a bag of peanuts, you ought to thank God for a Christian who labored under the buckets, because it's under the buckets that there's a blessing. It's under the buckets that there's favor. It's under the buckets that there's a benefit. The wonderful scriptures of God. And then number three, and last of all, not only the working Spirit of God and the wonderful scriptures of God, but number three, and last of all, oh my, the widening supply of God. Verse 6, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of Aline, aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. A thrilling thing that is located under heaven's buckets is the widening supply of God. In verse 6, the prophet Balaam sees a lavish landscape, and Israel experiences and enjoys it firsthand. Now, a person must note that this cornucopia is a product of being under the pales. This lavishness, this excess, this abundance. Again, if I can, this cornucopia is a direct result of where Israel was. Israel was under the buckets. And because they were under the buckets, they did not have shortage, they had supply. Amen. Fulfillment. Christian, you don't have to live your Christian life always distressed. You don't have to live your Christian life always depressed. You can get yourself, and I can get myself, and as a church, the Parkside Baptist Church and others that are represented in this Baptist Leadership Conference 2016, we can get ourselves underneath those buckets. And when we're underneath those buckets, God supplies. I mean, our brother is a testimony of that. I mean, did you hear what he told us? And by the way, you need a revival meeting. You really do. And I know an evangelist I can recommend highly. But I mean, that's a testimony of somebody that found out it's just better. It's just way better beneath the buckets. Amen. Fulfillment. Poet put it like this: such as you cannot contain. Good measure, pressed down, running o'er. All he has shown and so much more. A rending sky, an open door. Fulfillment. Friend, you and I need to discover it's better under the buckets because of the widening supply of God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, there is a place in the Christian life where Philippians 4:19 and other promises aren't a panic button, but a personal balcony to witness how God provides our needs in a special and even supernatural way. And that place, neighbor, is beneath the buckets. Did you ever have God answer prayer in such a miraculous way you knew it was God? Under the buckets. You ever had God provide something that you just stepped back and said, that's got the fingerprint of omnipotence all over it? Have you ever had God maybe do something that others would consider small, but you would consider special? Under the buckets. That's where I want to live my Christian life. That's where I want to spend my time. That's where I want to park my ministry. That's where I want to begin every day and go through every day and end every day, right underneath the buckets, because it's under the buckets that there's the widening supply of God. Incident, illustration, and then I'm through. My time's gone. A number of years ago, I was on my way to a revival meeting, and I had flown in from a distant city, landed in Detroit. I had just enough time to get home, unpack, pack, and head to Saginaw to preach that night, start a revival meeting. And in the hustle and bustle of getting in town and trying to get back out of town, about halfway to Saginaw, it dawned on me that though I had gas in the tank, I did not have any road money just on me that week. And Dr. Smith, you know how it is. Sometimes you do that. You think after so many years you would figure out certain things that you have to do every time. But sometimes just the busyness and just the press of the pace, just sometimes you forget things that you ought not forget. And man, I was too far down the road to turn around and come back. And if I would have, I would have missed the time to be in the pulpit that night. And so I did something that really we ought to do right at the get-go. I prayed. That's a novel idea, isn't it? That's a novel idea. And I said, Lord, I flew in early this morning and turned around real quick. And Lord, now I'm on the road. You know that. And I'm on my way to preach. And Lord, I don't have any road money on me. I forgot to get some road money. And I said, Lord, my razor in my bathroom bag, it's pretty dull. And I should have gotten a razor a couple days ago. But Lord, now it's extremely dull. And Lord, if I don't get a razor, Lord, I'm going to look like Rip Van Winkle preaching this meeting. And Lord, I admire Charles Haddon Spurgeon, but I really think he should have shaved. And I said, so Lord, I'd like you to just provide some razor money. Lord, that's all I need. I just need some money so I can go to the drugstore and get a razor. I prayed about it, and I forgot about it. Now, I know you visitors from heaven, you don't ever do anything like that, but that's what I did. I prayed about it, and I forgot about it. I preached that night, started that revival meeting, and everyone had left, and it was just the pastor and I, and he was closing the building up, and I said, can I help you secure the building, close the building? He said, no, he said, I think I got it. And he was going through the building, and about the time that he was turning off the lights and just securing the building, a dear elderly lady who had been in that service, probably, no question, in her late 80s, came back into the church. She was on a walker. And she walked over to me and I said, sis, can I help you? And she said, no, but I want to help you. And I said, well, how's that, sis? And she stuck her hand out and I shook her hand and she pressed something that felt green. Green has a feel. It really does. Green feels like nothing else. She pressed something green into my hand and said, the Lord told me that I was supposed to give this to you. And I said, well, sis, thank you so much. And she said, I have to tell you, Dr. Hamlin, I got out in the car and the Lord spoke to my heart about it. And I said, now, Lord, I'll just go ahead and do it tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow night. He's preaching a revival meeting. He'll be here several nights. I'll be in the meeting. And the Lord just wouldn't let me alone and just wouldn't. He said, no, I want you to do it now. And she said, I already put my walker in the trunk and I was already underneath the steering wheel and I'd already close the door, but she said the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone. And so I got out from underneath the steering wheel. I got out of the car. I went to the walker. I got the walker. I came back into church, and God told me that I was supposed to do this. And I said, thank you, sis. I so appreciate it. And I stuck it in my pocket, and I forgot about it. Now, I know you visitors from heaven never do anything like that, but I forgot about it. And so I went out to eat with the preacher and we fellowshiped some. And then I got back to the motel room and I got ready for bed. And I turned off the light and I jumped into bed. And I mean, I was just almost there. I mean, I was almost to that land of sweet slumber. Can I, brother, get a witness? I mean, I was almost there. I was pressing on Z land. I was almost there. And all of a sudden, God nudged my heart and said, didn't you pray about something? Didn't you ask me about something? Didn't you need something? And I remembered that piece of paper that was green that sister put in my pocket or in my hand that I put in my pocket. And I got out of that bed and I went to that closet and I went to that suit that I wore that night and I stuck my hand in that pocket. And friend, I pulled out a bill big enough, nothing like you got, but I pulled out a bill big enough to buy a case of razors. And here's the great thing about it. Mrs. Hamlin didn't know I had it. I shared with Dr. Smith before the service. My precious wife sent me a text of a patio set. And I was getting ready for the service, and she shoots me this text. She said, you like this? And I looked at it, and quickly I responded and said, love it. It's beautiful. She texts back, this is how much it is, and bring that home with you. I need a patio set. No pressure. I need 3 patio sets. No pressure. Hey, there's no better place in all the world, Christian. I can't explain that. I can't give you the 2 + 2. I can't put that on a microscope slide. I can't put that in a test tube. I can't explain that. I don't want to explain it. There's just something about being under the buckets, because when you're under the buckets, there's the widening supply of God. I'm closing with this. I was preaching in this area a number of years ago. And I went one day, and if you haven't been there, you need to go. I went one day to visit the museum of Dr. J. Frank Norris in Arlington. And the curator, Mrs. Bryant, knowing my great interest in our fundamental history, gave me a copy of an amazing letter that was from Dr. Louis Ensminger. Dr. Ensminger was the faithful assistant to Dr. J. Frank Norris for many years. He worked with him both in Detroit, my hometown, and also in Fort Worth. The letter was dated, Dr. Smith, 1952, which was the same year Dr. J. Frank Norris died. The penman is in the sunset of his ministry, and it seems that he had been sadly forgotten by many who should have still appreciated his sacrifice and his service for the Savior. And let me just pause right there and say that if you're a young person, you better get in the practice of appreciating old people, because if all things being equal and Jesus stays his coming, you'll be an old person one day too. And unfortunately, it's almost enough to make a stone weep. Unfortunately, as Dr. Lewis Ensminger was in the sunset of his life and the sunset of his ministry. Dr. Ross, he was forgotten by those who should have remembered his service and sacrifice. He may have been down, but he wasn't out because of all the years he had been under heaven's buckets. The letter reads, I quote, Dear Earl, Pastor Earl Odom of the Grand Prairie, Texas Church, I'd rather be dead than have to annoy you so much. But I haven't been in the fix I'm in years. Have $52 notes, two $50 notes past due on my home and on my car, and no credit here, and less than a dollar in the bank, and nothing to buy food with. If I was in Fort Worth, I could get credit in stores where I've been known for many years. And there's not a fundamental Baptist church in all this area. June will soon be here, and I'll be 79 years old. I never would have believed I would have faced the condition I'm now in, but I sure believe it now. If I was where there was a fundamental Baptist church, I believe I could get something to do. Guess I would be better off where I could do something. All I can do is pray. I have all my time for that, but I don't seem to be making much progress at it. Just know this, anything you can do to be a help, I'd sure dead appreciate it. Keep praying for me. I appreciate that. Yours in everlasting bonds, Ensminger. Then there's this last paragraph. Under his signature, it reads, Thank the Lord, just this minute, the mailman handed me your letter with a $100 check in it. Yes, God still hears and answers prayer. God bless you, boy. You saved me. Yours, Ensminger. Hey, believer, I've come to this pulpit to tell you that God will put his angels in a soup line to take care of his own, especially those that have found where the buckets pour. Oh, that's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. That's where all of us should desire. That place of winding supply.